In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There was a brief period of time when I was in elementary school that I was convinced that I would grow up to be a professional football player. And so one day when my teacher was explaining to me the importance of learning punctuation, I told her that I didn't need to understand punctuation because you don't need to use punctuation when you're a professional football player. And she looked at me and she said, "I think it's time that you start to live in the real world." And I think that was good advice for me in that particular situation. Anybody looking at me would know that I would never become a professional football player. I could trip over nothing at all. But sometimes when people tell us that we need to live in the real world, we might do well to question what they mean by living in the real world. Imagine the reaction of the people of Israel when they heard the commandment that they weren't supposed to do any work at all on the Sabbath day. One whole day a week, they were to rest. Who was going to take care of the fields and the flocks? Who was going to keep the world running while they were taking their day off? Didn't they need to live in the real world? It sounds good in theory to take that day off, but the real world says something else. And I think that's at least how some of the people must have reacted, because that's how people in our own society react to the idea of the Sabbath. Or how do you think people reacted when Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth"? Are you kidding? How can the meek inherit the earth? If you don't assert your rights, the rest of the world is just going to trample you. We have to live in the real world. But what is this real world that people are talking about? Is it really the real world? Do practicing the principles of the Sabbath and meekness reflect the real world? Or are these principles that are out of touch with reality? Our reading from the letter to the Hebrews today tells us that faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things that are not seen. Faith is more than a belief that God exists. Faith tells us that God is there and that He rewards those who seek Him. Faith tells us that God has ordered all of creation through His Word. Faith tells us to look for a better country that the people of this world cannot see. Faith allows us to see the real world that can't be seen. It gives us the foundation to order our lives around those things that are not seen, but that are real, more real than the things that are seen. The letter to the Hebrews then gives us several examples of faith in action, and I'd like to focus on two of those. First, there's the example of Noah. In Genesis, we read that the earth had become entirely corrupted. Human society had become full of violence, and the hearts of humanity was always focused on evil at every moment of every day. What kind of view of the real world do you think that people in Noah's time had? It was a view that inspired them to take whatever they wanted, no matter who they hurt. In their world, concern for others was never a factor in their decisions. Any thought from the Lord, we're told, had perished from their minds. But then there was Noah. And although it's not explicitly stated, it's implied that Noah had rejected the idea that the people around him were living by the principles of the real world. Noah alone was obedient to the ways of the Lord. And so the Lord commanded Noah to build an ark so that he and his family and all of the animals on earth could be saved. And so in faith, Noah set to work building an ark. And that ark wasn't built overnight. It took Noah years, even decades, to build this ark. And imagine for decades, Noah was building a boat on dry land. I'm sure more than a few people of his day had something to say to Noah. They probably said, "Noah, you're not living in the real world." But the author of the letter to the Hebrews tells us that Noah condemned the world by his faith. Because Noah believed in the ways of the Lord instead of the ways the people around him were living. Because Noah was willing to build an ark on dry land and just wait to see what God would do. Noah was saved through his faith. Because Noah believed that the Lord would save him, he acted on the Lord's instructions and built the ark. Sometimes, like Noah, our faith tells us that we have to reject the wisdom and the ways of the world around us. It gives us the assurance that the way that the Lord says we are to live, what God says about life is the real world. And the people around us are the ones that are living in unreality. The second example I'd like to look at is the example of Abraham. The letter to the Hebrews tells us that by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. All the Lord said to Abraham was, "Get up, take your household to the land that I will show you." Now, if the Lord had said to me to take my family and go to Hawaii, I think I could get on board with that, especially if it was January or February. That would sound pretty good. But what if the Lord said to me, "Okay, head out west and just keep going and I'll let you know when you've arrived." Well, what happens if the Lord stops me in the middle of Nebraska and says, "Here you are. This is the land I brought you to." I drove across Nebraska a couple weeks ago, and I can tell you that I don't want to live in the middle of Nebraska, and I can tell you that even more certainty that Lisa and the kids would hate it if we stopped in the middle of Nebraska. How could Abraham obey the command to just get up and go to the land that God would show him with no certainty as to what that land would be like? Well, Abraham must have believed something about God. He must have believed that the Lord had something better for him than the place he was living. He didn't know about the place he was going, but Abraham believed in the Lord. He believed that the Lord was good and would bring him to a good place. You see, our faith will always lead us to embrace a world that has yet to come. When we became Christians, the Lord called us to leave behind the ways of this world and live in a way that's consistent with the new heaven and the new earth that the Lord has promised that He would bring to us. Our faith, then, is not simply a belief that God is there. It is a belief in the God who is there. It is the assurance that the God who has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ is a good God and that He desires good for us. It is the conviction that the God who created the universe has revealed His true design for creation both in the Word spoken in Scripture and in the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a belief that produces hope and causes us to act with hope for a better world, a world that is more in line with the Lord's design for creation. So where is your faith challenging you to reject the unreality of the world that is seen? Perhaps your challenge is to reject consumerism, We're told over and over again that if we just had the right house, or the right car, or the right style, or the right bit of technology, our life would finally be complete. If we just had enough stuff, everything would be fine. But the Lord tells us something different. He says, seek Him, and we'll be rewarded. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, and we will be filled. That's reality. Perhaps your challenge is to reject secularism. We're told that the church and the world are two separate realms, and that the rules that apply to us on Sunday don't apply on Monday. We're told that worshiping as we please is one thing, but practicing our faith outside these walls is quite another. But the reality is, the Lord who is with us on Sunday is also there on Monday. And the whole world is filled with His glory. Perhaps faith is challenging you to reject malice and anger. We live in a world that admires the person with a sharp wit who can destroy someone else with 140 characters in a tweet. We live in a world that tells us it's fun to ridicule those with whom we disagree. We live in a world that tells us it's good to win, but it's even better if you can crush your enemy along the way. But faith tells us that malice and anger will lead to our destruction. Where is your faith challenging you, like Noah, to condemn the world and embrace the way of the Lord? Or where is your faith, like Abraham, challenging you to embrace a better world? Perhaps faith is challenging you to live more generously and compassionately. You've seen a need and you know you can fill it, and it's like the Lord is saying, I've put you here to meet this need. I've put you here for this specific purpose, to reveal my glory in the world around you. Or maybe faith is challenging you to see the world, the whole world, as a place that's full of God's grace. Maybe when you're asking your blessing on your meal, your faith is challenging you to stop and really understand that this food you're about to eat really is a gift from God. It's not our own efforts that have brought it to us, but it's God's goodness and grace that has given it to us. Or maybe your faith is challenging you to see that the resources that have been entrusted to you are really God's resources. That there are tools that He's granted to you to use in His service, that those things that you have are really holy things because they're dedicated to the Lord and to His service. Or perhaps your faith is challenging you to extend forgiveness to someone who's hurt you. Maybe you're coming to that point where you know that you have to forgive as you have been forgiven. Because that's the way God created us to live. He created us to follow the example of Christ, who even on the cross, even while He was being mocked, said, Father, forgive them. Because that's reality, and unforgiveness is unreality. But God created us to live in the real world, the world that He says is real. The world as He designed it. So where is your faith leading you to live in the real world rather than the unreality of our society? When you find that point, that's the way that faith in God will shape your life. It's that place where you put your trust in the goodness of the Lord and trust that what He has for you is better than what the world has to offer. Because when we have a living faith, that faith that is the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things unseen, we will finally understand that the Lord has ordered the universe according to His word and is faithful to those who seek Him. I share this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.